This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and FMR in Cape Town.
Well, Chantel Marks, Head of Equity Research at F&B Wealth and Investments, is in studio with the view from the markets, or should I say the scene of the crash eyewitness view. Chantel, not pretty out there.
No, not pretty again, it seems. Volatility really seems to be a theme among all global markets at the moment. And today we knew was going to be a pretty tough day because we saw what was happening in the US. Huawei's CFO was arrested apparently at the US's request, and that sent Chinese tech stocks into a little bit of a free fall, which in turn influenced Nasdaq. But really broad-based weakness today. And then obviously a weakening rand due to A, risk of sentiment, and B, a disappointing current account deficit number, also just resulting in domestics being sold off.
Sold off in a big way. The Aussie down over 2%, top 40 down 2.2%. Very interesting article on ShareNet by Dwayne van Ferren showing that we are, if you take inflation into account, 25% down over a calendar year in the top 40. His chart shows the reforming of a double bottom. Is it robust enough to pull us out of where we find ourselves in current?
I had a quick glance at the chart, and it does seem to be a double bottom. At least we can see some sort of a base forming, and there does seem to be resistance at that level where we are actually trading today. So at least we could expect, from a technical perspective, to kind of hover around the bottom, but we'll really need something to pull us out of where we are at the moment. Something a little bit more, perhaps globally driven.
Well, certainly more globally driven than locally driven, with Eskom trying to drive us to drink at the moment. I think Merrill Lynch's 2019 outlook summed it up for me. The market unfriends stocks and bonds, likes volatility, swipes right on cash. If you've been in cash, that's where you've been able to stash your returns.
Yeah, and I mean, hindsight is absolutely 20/20. I mean, no one at the beginning of this year and at the height of Ramaphosa were thinking that cash was going to be your best investment, especially after 3 years of the JSE effectively moving sideways. I don't think anyone was expecting the JSE to fall by 15% so far this year, and by 20% from its highs, and 25% if you factor in inflation. That's a lot more than a correction, and it's slightly more even than a bear market, which is a 20% fall.
Wow, that is sobering indeed. It might mean, though, that 2019 will be a little better. It can't get too much worse. Don't say it.
No, I mean, certainly the world seems to be taking a little bit more of a positive view from a market's perspective on emerging markets generally. We are seeing a little bit Well, at least we're seeing signs of a slowdown in the U.S., that inverted yield curve scaring people into the R word, recession. But a lot is happening in China in terms of stimulus, and you might see a shift in sentiment from developed markets back into emerging markets. Also an expectation that if economic growth comes through quite weak in the US, you could see the Fed put a little bit of a hold on raising rates, which would be dollar negative and positive for emerging market currencies. So all of that could be positive for markets next year. But again, sentiment is going to play a huge role, and there's still so much uncertainty in the system.
That decision by the Saab to hike against that backdrop, looking increasingly shaky, let it be said. Steinhoff came out today with the news that the PwC report is going to be delayed, which is great news for journalists, because we were wondering whether or not we'd have much of a Christmas, counting down the days to seeing that report. It's official. It's only coming out in February. The share tanks on the news, down 10.1%. What does this indicate to you, considering that PwC has had pretty much the better part of the last 10 months since it was appointed?
Well, it indicates that the Steinhoff accounting issue is a lot more complex than what was initially thought, even by PwC, when they decided on what their specific timelines were going to be, or when they guided that to management. Management would have even built in a little bit of fat before communicating that to the market. So it seems as if there's quite a messy situation unfolding there, and it's becoming increasingly likely that equity investors are not really going to get much of a return on their Steinhoff shares ever. At least they've kind of firmed up on their commitment to creditors. So it seems as if bondholders can breathe a sigh of relief for now. But there's still a lot of water to flow under this bridge. It is so messy. Steinhoff is completely uninvestable from an equity perspective.
What's so difficult? You know what a venture is. You can trace it back to some of those off-balance sheet entities. Just chat to Rob Rose. He had it all down in his book, Steinhoff. Chantel, Mark, stay right there. We're going to cross to Pusuleta and find out what's happening out on the road.
This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and FMR in Cape Town.
Welcome back. Chantel Marks is in studio with your view from the market. Chantel, you mentioned that current account deficit widening to 3.5% of GDP. Was that a big miss? Enough to see the sort of rand weakness that we did 2.1% down, or was that more dollar strength that we're seeing impacting on the rand?
Yeah, it's probably a combination of dollar strength, risk aversion, and the current account deficit miss. It was not that big. I think the market was expecting more or less 3.4%. It came in at 3.5%. But a lot of it has to do with current dynamics in the market. And the high oil price in the third quarter certainly played a role there, because we are oil importers. So if the price is quite high, we're importing a higher value of goods. What was interesting was that the volume of imports were actually also quite high. So that we'll need to unpack a little bit further. But looking towards the fourth quarter, we could expect a little bit of a narrowing because the oil price is a little bit more favorable and domestic demand is super weak. So demand for imports should be a little bit lower as well.
That's it. We see oil really pummeled again today on the back of that OPEC meeting in Vienna.
Yeah, I found that quite interesting because most of what we were expecting to come out of that meeting was a commitment to cut production in order to artificially push up prices. A lot of these countries, one must admit, would have much lower marginal costs of production on oil after the $29 a barrel scare two years ago.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they're too desperate to cut production too quickly, and I think they're enjoying the kind of money that's flowing into their
economy. Well, that's the problem with the cartel, Chantel. That the fact is it's only as strong as its weakest member, and at these levels it's very attractive to just keep on pumping. We are seeing that increasingly with OPEC. It is quite difficult. It's good news for motorists, and yesterday we had that almost 2 rand cut at the petrol pump just in time for the annual road trips as well. I came across a very interesting rumor. It must be stressed. It is a rumor that Telkom is sniffing around Blue Label's Cell C interest. Have you heard anything further on that?
Yeah, well, apart from what I could pick up in the news and a 7% increase in the Blue Label share price.
Well, it usually gives it away.
Yeah, not really much more apart from what you're saying. It's a rumor. What I found quite interesting about this was that Telkom was looking at Cell C, and I think they did put in a cheeky bid or two at some point, because it does make sense for the third and fourth largest mobile telecommunications providers to merge, just from a capital expenditure perspective. They don't each have to build their own networks. But Telkom was very firm that there's a specific price that they're willing to pay for Cell C, and that they're very cognizant of the massive debt burden that goes along with that company. So it'd be interesting to see that if they bid for the Cell C stake, what is the price that they're going to be willing to pay for it? Mm. And will Blue Label get their money back? Blue Label has been under so much pressure because of the Cell C story. So I think that they would want to perhaps get rid of it, but they've been quite adamant that they are still quite happy with the business.
Well, that's it.
Strange one.
You look at the free cash flow numbers out of Blue Label, they're still very, very healthy, apart from those debt levels, so that they can still service that debt, but they have been under a lot of pressure, granted. It is a story that, as you say, has been trotted out in the past, that there's a potential tie-up. It makes sense. They just don't have the balance sheet to compete with MTN and Vodacom. Speaking of MTN, another wee rumor, still unconfirmed, that fine in Nigeria might be reduced to $15 million. That would be massive.
Yeah, I mean, we know the Nigerian court basically pushed out a decision on a ruling on the matter because apparently the parties were negotiating around a settlement deal. Any sort of settlement that's materially lower or materially more favorable than a repatriation of $8 billion US dollars would be very favorable for MTN. We also saw that share price receive a little bit of support today. It was up about 1.5% relative to a market that fell by 2%. So according to the share price movement, there's possibly some truth in the rumor.
Chantal Marks, Head of Equity Research at F&B Wealth and Investments, with your view from the markets.